Leading off with a big story of the day, here's The Drive.
Jay Norvell, head coach of CSU.
Come on. We play on ESPN? We got game day? Let's go. Okay? I mean, really, what else do you need to say? And this is what kids come to college for. It's a great opportunity. I mean, Stevie Wonder could see it.
So, well, that's fine. He's saying the opportunity is so obvious.
I get it now.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yes, that is funny.
He's a good guy. I've heard good things about Norvell.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hashtag asunder.
He's going to lose this weekend, but he's a good guy.
I get it, but, you know, you get your kids fired up.
I got no problem with it.
Here's you talking to Prime today, Matt.
Last week, the message was, it's personal.
Uh-huh.
This week, you're also facing a rival, so is the message, it's also personal, or is it more little brother week?
Well, God hasn't given me the message yet. When he give it, I promise you guys will be first to know.
That's Coach Prime, man.
What messages suppose Prime's going to get from God this week about CSU?
I thought he'd lean into the little brother thing. He's looking for themes
week. You tried to set him up.
I tried, man. I tried. I didn't think that anyone had had the time to really catch him up on the rivalry, to be 100% honest with you, so it was slightly loaded. But he didn't take it. No, he didn't take it. We'll see what happens the rest of the week, though. Well, he's going to have to lean into it one way or another.
We'll see what God tells him.
We'll see. I'm looking forward.
60 Minutes is going to be here?
60 Minutes.
What?
60 Minutes. They did a piece on him at Jackson State last year.
I do remember that.
So now they're going to do a follow-up now that things have, you know, clearly what we've seen transpire over the last year. So they're coming College Game Day, First Take, Big Noon Kickoff, 60 Minutes. And I heard there was one other ESPN show. I'm looking for confirmation on that.
I didn't know Shiloh and Shadur visited CSU several years ago.
They did.
Okay.
I don't know much. I mean, I think, was it Coach Bobo was there? He was, we had a relationship, and he recruited my son, so that was, I know they had a good time, they really did. I think they got in an argument on the trip. I know they called me that night fighting with each other, probably about the room, or trying to bring a girl to the room, something stupid like that. I promise you, another one probably didn't want to leave. That probably was it. I think that was it, matter of fact. But,
what?
They enjoyed the trip tremendously, but I think they enjoyed it here much better.
Okay.
Prime keeps it 100. But I'll tell you, it is fun up at CSU. In fact, Rachel and I were just talking about
Hi,
that.
Hi, Rachel.
At
you dropping in a little bit? I love it. What's going on? I wow.
Yeah, that wow. almost slapped me in the face.
Watch out.
I need the bus to the Rams later this weekend. Anyways, how are you guys doing?
A little cell phone. That
you
was
listen,
good.
Rachel, you are a lone voice in the wilderness around here because we got Drew and we got Matt and we got
James
and we got Jake and... got a bunch of the poser buffs like me and people that look at KJ. He's pumping. He's a poser buff right there. He's a buff via Mississippi through Jackson State to Prime.
Listen, I'm also a realist, though, and I'm like, all right,
but
CSU.
You are the CSU Ram.
I am.
You got to plant the flag.
Do we have any other CSU Rams in this building that we should?
No.
Of note?
No.
Nobody? You're it this year?
You know when we came out of the press conference, Rachel, Richie, and I were walking together, and Rachel just had this weird look on her face. I said, are you okay? She's like, ah. I don't want to like them. I don't want
to
like them.
But it's hard not to. The whole disrespect and respect thing of like standing on the logo at center field or being like you disrespected my pops, you're like, shoot, I have to like them now. Like you just can't not like that. It's like an underdog. Where
yeah,
you're
but what
like,
about this week? What about this week? What about this week?
Here's the thing. If it was like going to... I'm going to get smashed for saying this.
No,
if it was going to be a competition... I would be like, all right, all Fired for out. It. But, like, I have to be a realist. The Rams are most likely going to lose. And even if they do somehow beat the Buffs are going to have a better season. So
I just could never do this. What you're doing right now, I couldn't do it.
Going
to Syracuse, our big rival, at least in basketball. Football was a little weird because it was kind of all over the place for football. But in basketball, it was clearly Georgetown. Like, I cannot think of one reason in the world why I would ever, I mean, support Georgetown, root for Georgetown, hope Georgetown would succeed on any freaking level.
I don't have that, like, hatred for CU because my sister and my brother-in-law went to CU before I did.
You went to CSU.
Yeah, but like I just like acknowledged the Buffs. Like I didn't go in and hating them compared to other people where it's like, oh my gosh, like my entire family went to CSU. I grew up absolutely hating
them. I'm going to challenge some Rams fans to hate on CU.
Hey, you know what?
Everybody I've talked to has been
303-713-1043. Where are you CSU people?
Call in.
Every single person I have talked to that is a Ram fan has said, yes, CU is going to win, but like I still love my Rammies. And that's how I feel.
Would it?
All right, but that's like just... To me, that's just too accepting of the, well, inevitable, but still.
Is it worth that, or is it just like, okay, I'll get absolutely demolished and, like...
I just cannot believe how many CSU people are being so kind and I guess, by default, excited
they
for...
have a choice. This,
sure you do. You can just hate it.
For the opportunity of being
the
on
opportunity.
Game day.
Right, yeah.
Like,
I could
hell
just,
yeah.
I would just, if I'm CSU, I said, I don't want anything good to happen to CU.
Tons of CSU fans have hit me up because I've... obviously kind of put myself out there, so they have definitely hit
it's
me up
easy
talking.
To put yourself out there when you're on the higher side of there
100% that's why they come at me, right? That's why they're coming at me. And even before the year I was saying that they were going to get romped by CU and people didn't like that. I'm telling you, I would love to hear from Rams fans today. Come call in and give
please.
A little Rams side of this.
Come hang with me.
Yeah, exactly.
Hang
exactly.
with you where?
On the...
On Ambivalent Island? whatever, you know, sort of peninsula? Hang out with you where?
It's tough. It's tough to be a Ram fan this week.
It's tough to
but it's
be
also-
a CSU
okay.
Ram.
Well,
I said it's
how
tough
rude is
to
that?
Be a CSU Ram.
I said, it's
do
not
I
tough.
Need to leave, gentlemen?
Well, you brought it up.
No,
you said it.
I'm trying to rally you up. Uh-huh. I'm trying to keep it, get it going a little bit here.
I will
IBMs
say,
have
at the
already
game,
been terrible.
At the game, you were definitely not like, you liked it. You were like,
wait.
There was some CSU coming out of you at the
how
game.
Are your DMs? Tough. People from CSU are mad at you?
No, people from CU are just like, oh, your Rams are going to get absolutely destroyed this weekend. You got.
That's got
I'm
little
like,
brother just going to sit there
okay.
and take it.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you did there. Matthew. Mm-hmm. Matthew, what's your middle name over there?
Lewis.
Matthew Lewis.
L-O-U, not L-E-U or L-E-W. Rather.
It's tough, though. It's tough to be a Ram. But it's also exciting because college football is actually good in Colorado, and that has been years since that's happened.
Would it be CSU's biggest win in program history? Like, I'm sure they've upset, but as far as, like, the magnitude of this one?
It'd be so big.
It'd be massive. They also had a bye week, though, so they've had 2 weeks to study CU.
Yeah, they have.
Boy.
Like, an upset could happen. I'm not guaranteeing it.
There you go.
Like,
come on.
How could it happen?
It just could.
You just asked her to show some pride, and she just said the upset
Listen,
could happen.
Listen, the backup quarterback starting, so there's going to be no tape for CU to have on this guy. And CU or CSU's had 2 weeks to prepare for the Buffs. It's about as good as you're going to get from me, though.
Okay. All right.
I will say, to Prime's point, yeah, of course Shadur and Shiloh had a tremendous time up in Fort Collins on their trip because Fort Collins is a fun place to go to school, man. Like, that's a good party school up in FOCO. Low-key,
it's way better
it's
than
a
Boulder.
Lot of fun.
It's
yeah.
better than Boulder.
Because in Boulder, it's just the frats.
Yeah.
Up in Fort Collins,
what
you go out, you have a good time.
Bars.
You got Pearl Street right there
no,
in Boulder.
No, because you
no
got
to
walk down the hill.
Or Pearl Street, though.
You got to walk way down the hill, and that's not a fun drunk walk back up the hill.
No?
No. It's not,
not
great.
Doable?
It's doable? No, it's doable. It's just not ideal.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
I've done it plenty of times. It's just not ideal.
I've had some fun on Pearl Street myself.
Had fun up in FOCO?
I have not. Really?
Well, that's
well. There's an item for the bucket
but
list.
But if you guys need some advice on places to go in Greeley, I know the two.
Wow.
Places to go.
The shots at Greeley.
I guess. Hey, I got to play you guys this. And KJ, we got some CSU people here. Is that what we got? What we got here? All right, we can go through this.
All right, let's do a CSU.
Yes.
All right, we'll see what you got. Ron, you're on the fan. Go ahead, Ron.
What's up, Ron?
Yeah, I'm out here in Fort Collins. I'm a long-time Ram fan.
Yeah.
I think we have a chance this weekend. Now, having said that, I did go to law school at CU, so I am a closet Buff fan. season tickets to both.
Oh, wow.
I will be there rooting on. I am for Prime and the team every week except for this week, and I think we have a chance.
All right, good. All right, good. Thanks. I love the optimism. Thanks, I'm a closeted Buffs fan.
Randy, you're on the fan. What you got to say, Randy?
Oh, yeah. Go Rams, buddy. Go Rams.
All right. There's Randy.
All right, Randy.
Chris, hi, you're on the fan. What do you got to say, Chris?
What up, D-Mac? Hey, man. My beef with the fan and TSU goes back a long way. And it's not so much about this upcoming weekend. It's just that nobody on the fan really gives, like, an ounce of respect that there's even a program up there.
You know, we do air the games here on the fan.
We are the home of the Rams.
We are the home of the CSU Rams. The game will actually be heard here on the fan. You understand
that,
right?
Which makes my point even more dynamic, man. Like, you guys run promos all the time, but anytime you guys talk about CSU, it's followed by laughter. And it's followed
buddy, that ain't just us. That's all I got to tell you.
As a Rammy, I can just say.
Listen,
they haven't gave us a lot to talk about.
He might be right. Guys, Chris, I have a suggestion. Well, try this out for size. Say something about CSU, Rachel.
Sure.
Because he says it's always followed by laughter. I have another suggestion. Say something about CSU. Anything.
About, like, the athletic program?
Anything. Anything about CSU.
Love CSU men's basketball and women's basketball and the volleyball program.
Well, he was right.
Football
he was right. It might have been followed by
so maybe we don't have to laugh.
Believe. He wants respect. Go earn it.
All right, one more. Brown, you're on the fan. Hi, Brown.
Hey, Brown.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. Rams fan. Rachel, I'm supporting you the whole way.
So my question is,
like, with as much following as the CU program has, why can't we have the Mile High Showdown at Mile High Stadium anymore? That would be able to host so many more fans. We'd be able to pack the place. I think we need to bring it back to Mile High Stadium.
Well, you know, how many games did you go? Brown, how many games did you go? I went to a bunch there. And in the beginning, 20 years ago, it was the right place to be at the right time. It was amazing. But it got
we used to have a 50-50 split.
It got a little sad as time was going on.
They couldn't fill up the third bowl, man. And you're right. Now you could probably do it. But at the very same time, bring the rivalries back to campus. That's where the juice is.
See, this is where you're a hypocrite. This is where you're as a CU guy hypocrite.
Why?
Because you have no interest of going to Fort Collins to see CU-CSU.
That's not true at all.
There's no way. When you say bring it to campus, you know what they're really saying, Rachel. They're saying play it at Folsom. That's what CU people are really saying.
I said this the other day. CSU is a much better stadium than Folsom. I don't care what you say. It is so pretty up there.
Yeah, we talked about this the other day.
It is brand spanking new. It's just a couple years old. It's 10 times better than Folsom Field.
But you do understand, when CU people say it's better on campus, what they're really saying, it's better at Folsom. You understand that, right?
That's not what I'm saying. That's really not what I'm saying. CSU has a good tailgate up there.
I know plenty of CU. Hopefully somebody from CU will back me up on this one.
I'm looking forward to senior year Shador going in there and shredding them.
Nobody who's a CU person would be excited about going to Fort Collins.
I am.
Okay.
Thank you.
I want to go see a game at that stadium. It's going to be cool, even though it's really small.
Hater, D-Mac. Cool. Hater, D-Mac. We're not drinking that hater right now.
And as a poser, I'll be up there in a couple of weeks. So there you go.
There you go. For what game?
You guys.
They're going against Utah Tech.
Yeah.
Sorry, Utah Tech? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you guys Utah State?
You guys are literally all lying.
You know what, D-Mac?
You're all lying.
Next year for the Rocky Mountain Showdown, we're going.
Yes, you're coming with us.
You're going to FOCO. We're going to have a whole thing.
You should be coming this weekend. No,
I don't have a problem doing any of that. I'm not a CU. I'm a poser buff. I'm not have I been to games in Fort Collins? No.
Not since the new stadium.
Not ever. Jamie.
What's up, Jamie?
Go ahead. Last one on this. What's up, Jamie?
Hey, all I can say is, you know what? I follow college football. I love it. I don't give a rat's ass if CSU wins by, or CU wins by 50, because CSU is the bomb.
I love it, Jamie.
You know what?
All right, how about this? Jamie.
Yeah.
Sing your fight song.
Dude, you know what?
Wait. Mm-hmm. Wait.
It's not the fight song. I went to school back east in Georgetown, and you were just bagging. But you know what? CSU freaking takes care of my pet goat. I will love them forever.
What's the name of the goat, Jamie?
Fishy. Paddle boards, he river rafts.
The goat.
They gave him acupuncture. They did chiropractor. They massaged my damn goat.
Like every week for his
entire life.
Fishy. I absolutely love that.
She's a goat. Thank you, Jamie. Good job on the fight song. Yeah, that's another thing that I found out after doing this show for a lot of years. Nobody from CSU knows their fight song. They really don't. That's why I use hashtag asunder. If you ever wonder where that came from? Because the word asunder is in your stupid fight song. You don't even know it.
Actually,
I'll I'll guarantee you $100 if anybody wants this bet that Rachel does not know her fight song.
Yeah.
I'll guarantee she doesn't know it.
I doubt she does.
As I'm rolling around.
Yeah. Right, you're laughing because we got Cinchy the Goat. We got no fight songs.
What do you think's good about this?
I have no idea. By the way, I have no idea why people from CSU do not know their own fight songs.
What do you think's good about this weekend's Rocky Mountain Showdown? I love their equestrian program up there in Fort Collins. It is top notch.
It's
actually, I love that Fishy the Goat.
Fishy the Goat.
He paddleboarding goat? I'd like to see a picture of that.
Did you know you had the word asunder in your fight song?
I'm literally crying.
Do you know what the word asunder even means? Most people don't even know what that word means.
All right. Asunder? No, what does asunder mean?
Exactly.
Wait, you guys, that was so funny.
Is that like to embark?
Oh, my gosh.
To put room between.
Really?
Go. Oh, wow. Look at KJ.
Attaboy. Did you have that one?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's asunder. What I thought. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Hashtag asunder.
You just use it. You don't know what it means.
All right. Well, there you go with the CSU stuff and the CU stuff. And Rachel, it's
Rams fans, it's just a little weak sauce there. That's all I got to say.
We're just realists, okay?
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know any part of your fight song? Do you know really seriously?
I used to, but not anymore.
I'm not going with that. I'm way older than you. Down the field goes the Syracuse. Just watch the backs of the line and go through. Down the field, they go marching, fighting for the orange, strong, streaky. Each loyal son knows
okay,
that.
Okay, but here's the difference. The only time we would sing it was for our football games, and they were not good.
And you didn't sing it very much, right?
Yeah, the only year they were good was my freshman year.
Rachel,
and
there's
I could tell
no...
you I was drinking plenty of lemonade. Yeah. So I didn't learn it.
A lot of strawberry lemonade.
There's zero chance they weren't playing that song at the basketball games, too.
I don't...
Well, I was working, so to be honest, I guess I didn't pay attention.
There you go.
It doesn't, like, stick out to me from Moby.
What's the Buffs?
What's the Buffs theme song?
Yeah, I don't know.
You gotta be kidding me.
Hell no, I don't.
KJ.
Don't.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, even I know this.
You down the field, see you must win. Fight, fight for victory. See you knows no defeat. So roll up that mighty score.
Right.
Never give in.
I've had my fair share of
shoulder
this.
To shoulder, we will fight. Fight! Rough
them
up, go see you!
Right, thank you for keeping that clean.
Oh man, that really got me pumped up for this weekend, you guys.
There you go. Make fun of the fight song.
At least we know our fight song.
Right. That was something.
Oh, here we go, Rachel. Ready? Take it away, Rachel
Vigo! I don't know it. I will be...
Have a great agricultural department, and we take care of Fishy the Goat.
And we wear green and gold, but also sometimes burnt orange. So asunder, asunder, CSU, and fight.
What's the Rams' name again?
Fight.
Go Rams!
And that's the new theme song right here, 104.3 The Fan.
That was good.
Green and gold and sometimes burnt orange.
There we go.
All right, well, you can hear the game right here on The Fan at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, right?
8 o'clock.
6 o'clock pregame.
6 o'clock pregame. 2 hours. Pre-game. Woo, okay. That's awesome. Saturday night. It's going to be rocking and rolling up there. Is Aaron Rodgers done?
Man. He might be. I mean, he was almost done before he went to the Jets. Is that the universe saying you should have been? I don't know. Or is it just bad karma? Just unlucky? The turf field? I don't know. But
40 years old, has to come back from an Achilles. You can come back in less than a year. You can.
Do you go out like that? It's an Achilles. He'll heal.
I think he's done.
I think he's done, too.
Yeah, I think he's going to say, I gave it a shot. I got other things I want to do in my life. I think he was really enjoying his time with the Jets, though. And I do think he loves playing football. I just think he's going to come across more things in life that he's going to be just interested in.
Do we think he's going to his dark house?
His darkness retreat?
Like, right now? He's just on his, venture. He's on a plane going to it right now.
The one thing about watching Hard Knocks this year was how much he was enjoying his time in New York with his teammates, mentoring Zach Wilson. He wasn't threatened by him whatsoever. He loves Nathaniel Hackett. Like, really, seriously, it was a little boring in Hard Knocks because there wasn't really anything all that intriguing. Although they did highlight, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting the dude's name with the punt return last night.
Xavier Gibson.
Xavier Gibson. Yeah, they highlighted him, and for him to make... That was pretty incredible. Had you been following Hard Knocks, which not many people were, but had you been following it, and to see him make the
unbelievable
team, and then to watch what happened. I mean, that was just like, that was incredible.
What is wrong with the Buffalo Bills? I mean,
Rachel,
you might be right.
Josh Allen looks like he's just lost out there.
Yeah, it's a simple answer for Josh Allen. No one up there is holding him accountable like Brian Daboll was holding him accountable.
That might be it, KJ.
That's a good point.
And until they get someone back in there that can tell him, hey, this is how you're going to run the offense, even all talent has to be properly tamed. Like, let's go with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, when talent wasn't properly tamed, was doing whatever. But when it's straight line, you don't have to guess what he's going to do. You just know it's going to happen.
Yeah, and Bills fans, you know, a lot of them, at least Zach specifically, too, for a long time has been talking about Sean McDermott not carrying his weight. And maybe if the season goes like what it looked like it's going to go last night, I don't know. There might be a change in Buffalo this year.
I would tell you the Manning cast is fantastic. Again, it was great. They had John McEnroe on last night. They had some technical difficulties with Ryan Fitzpatrick, unfortunately, made it kind of difficult to hear him, but the spirit of it was great, and they're funny together. You said you had a theme music for Peyton Manning, Matt. What would it be?
Well, Peyton was talking about the song that he used to play in the car every morning when he, as a high school senior, would drive Eli as a freshman to school.
Was this on Outlaw Radio that
I've
seen?
Did you pull that song up, KJ? Did you pull that song up? All right, yeah. Yeah.
So this is the song?
Yeah, this is the song.
Okay. Oh, Patty Smyth, Scandal the Warrior.
That's it, baby.
Yeah.
That's Peyton's thing. Eli, I guess, listened to it to hype himself up before every game.
Yeah, I had a little thing for Patty Smyth back in the day.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Have you seen this video?
You know what? I don't think I have.
Oh, man. The Warrior Scandal? Patty Smyth?
I know.
She's kind of like a non-scary Pat Benatar.
Can I ask you what year I should type in to look at Patty Smyth?
It's got to be an 80s song. I mean, clearly it's an 80s tune, I would guess.
All right, just 1980s.
Peyton, if you're listening to me, we can roll. Me and you can roll this one. Let it breathe a little bit, KJ. I can sing along with it. Because I don't want to sing the
theme song.
The walls of heartache, bang, bang, I am the warrior. Yes, I am the warrior.
The Manning cast is great, man. I think it's great.
All right, this is
I thought they got better, too. Like, I thought they actually took some time to practice.
This is the theme music for the CSU Rams. Speaking of warriors, Russell Wilson. I'm going to give you a dose of
reality. That's Wolverines.
Still a warrior with Wolverine blood. But there's stuff that's been said here on the station that people are getting bizarrely wrong. And I'm here to set the record completely straight about our guy, Russell Wilson. It ain't over. It ain't great. But there's belief. Because it's not over. You just got to believe. You gotta believe, Russ. That's up next.
The Drive on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
We
were both
young when I first saw. We have some breaking Taylor Swift news.
Taylor Swift is being linked.
Yes.
To the Chiefs tight end, Travis Kelce, and the two are quietly hanging out.
So it worked.
It worked.
It worked.
My man, shoot your shot.
If you don't know the story, and if I'm wrong about it, correct me, but he did a friendship bracelet, gave it to Taylor Swift that had his phone number on it. Is that essentially the story?
Yes, and he was trying to go backstage to meet her, and she essentially said, no, you cannot come backstage, probably because she has no idea who Travis Kelce was. And then, of course, things started coming out, and now they're being quietly linked together. I love it.
Just say.
All right, well, best of luck to them for, I give it, what, three weeks.
Wait, we're not allowed to disrespect the queen like that.
How long does a relationship take to write an entire album?
At least 3 years, because that's typically how long she dates people.
So it's got to be
at least three years? The football season. At least through like week 15.
Well, how do you get 12 songs
the
out
question
of
her, is, 12 songs out of a relationship? Swift. Be at the playoff games. Would she make an
right next to Brittany Mahomes? Her and Brittany.
We needed quarterbacks to be this season.
That's the besties duo we didn't know we needed right there.
Oh my God. Taylor. Oh my Lord. Okay. We got our guy Russell Wilson. And, you know, it's funny hearing Mark Schlereth talk about just how much Russell's so incredible and so great and all that. And then you hear, well, listen to this Oakley show, my Lord. Like, hide the razor blades.
Wow.
Wow. Man, they are down in the dumps on basically everything. But I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle. It's not, was Russ effective in the first half? Yeah, he was 17 of 19 for like $133. Pretty good. Couple touchdowns, right? We'll take that. No turnovers. You're leading 13-10. Whether you like the onside kick or whatever, there you go. How were things in the second half? Well, not that great. It just wasn't that great. And on the last drive, and I know you only had six possessions, but you got to make a throw. So, you know, I'm watching, I'm forgetting his name. Help me out. Video I talked about earlier.
Oh, Jenkins.
Tim Jenkins.
Yeah.
Who really, I love how he breaks things down. It really helps me in, you know, looking at it. And let me talk to you about a couple things he pointed out.
Okay.
So there was a pass to Jaleel McLaughlin, okay? That was to the sideline that, you know, it was a completion, but it was like minus 1 yards or something like that. You remember that one?
Yes.
Well, if you look at the film and he broke it down, you can see that there was a possibility of going over the top on that one.
Was that the face mask?
Yes, it was. Okay. It was. So there was a benefit. Good memory. There was a benefit on that play because of the face mask. So it's not like, you know, there wasn't something positive that happened. But if you look at the All-22, there was an opportunity further down the field. So the question that I would ask you guys, and I would ask everybody reasonably, is do you think Russ didn't take a shot at that, which would have been a dynamic play? And it would have been a dynamic play for Dorsett, too, had he not gone out of bounds. But do you think he held back on taking a shot because of how he's being coached or because, you know, he just doesn't see it that way? Like, it's his decision. Do you think he's influenced more by the coaches or he's making his own mind up to be a little bit more careful?
Gosh, I just think it depends upon the play. I mean, what is he seeing? Where's the pressure coming from, right? Who's protected? Who's not? Does he have a hat on a hat? I mean, there's so much that goes into it.
Do you believe Russell Wilson has the courage right now to take chances based off what happened last year?
No. Why? Because I think that his confidence got completely shut down last year. I think even though Sean Payton comes in and is hyping him up to the media, I still think that there's a bunch of question marks around it. I think he realizes that if he continues to make any sort of silly mistakes, that his Hall of Fame career, his future, is going to go in the dumpster. And despite it, he probably expected somewhat of his defense to be able to come out there and hopefully make a stop, because that's what's been hyped up for so many years, and that didn't happen.
I don't think he's afraid to take a shot necessarily down the field. The protection can be a question at times, but also, who's he going to take the shot to? Right? They got Marvin Mims.
There's plenty of people that he could take shots to. Okay. Well, I think this.
I think his confidence level is.
Do they have dynamic playmakers? No. They definitely could use more of those. You throw it to Troutman, you know, he picks it up for 7 and he falls down for 6. He's not that type of guy. I get it. I think Russ has been scarred up by the pass, and I think, I'm almost certain, based off everything I saw in training camp, he is being told, if you have a chance between safe play and making a play and taking a chance, just take the profit. So I think there's a bit of brainwashing with Russ going on right now, where the reason you're not seeing as many chances is because of how poorly things did go, and I think that's been beaten to his head. So when I'm watching that video, Tim was like speculating, well, you know, I think Sean Payton's going to have a problem with it. I just respectfully disagree with Tim on this, and I'd be happy to have that debate. I don't think he's getting crap from Sean Payton about that at all. in fact, just the opposite. I think that's exactly what he's been coached to do based on everything we've seen so far. We thought that they would play it safe. So here's the big question for everybody, and I'd challenge Mark on this. If it's all about efficiency, well, there's a lot of ways you can just be efficient playing it safe, but can you win that way? And then on a mechanics issue, late in the game on that throw to Courtland Sutton on the one pass when you only had six possessions. So when you only have six possessions, like every play matters big time. Didn't flip his hips, didn't get himself in the right position, and didn't make a good throw. Courtland Sutton, there was no way on God's green was he going to catch that, nor was anybody else going to. It was a simple, bad throw. And then you got conservative on Troutman on the next play.
He's sticking to the game plan.
He's sticking to the game plan.
Sean Payton is saying. He's not, you know, just going out there and being like, all right, Sean, that play broke down and being an elite quarterback. He's following. Because all of the negative talk came down to Russ. Yeah, Hackett's no longer here, so that can't be an excuse. But if he throws one interception or whatever it's going to be, everything is going to fall on Russell Wilson's shoulder. And as of right now, everything's falling on Sean Payton's shoulder.
I would make the argument, because James is saying Russ is being put in a position to fail. I guess I would sort of side with James on this because he's being coached to be safe. This works fine if you have the lead. So you've got to, you don't have to have a big lead, but you have to have some sort of lead. And at the end of the day, you've got to have a defense that sort of, not sort of, can definitely get stops. You have to have a really good defense. And the problem isn't really the weapons that Russell has, as far as I can tell. The problem is executing what the coaches want is not an effective way to come from behind. It's not.
Well, you wouldn't have had to do that if you didn't spot him seven out of the gate, right? I mean, there was part of that too. But the other,
You are so hung up on that, bro.
Well, it's just the truth of what happened.
You are so hung up on it, man.
It's just the truth of what happened.
It's as if the game was over when they led 13-10 at halftime.
No, but it definitely made things tougher. Last season, the Broncos always were playing from behind. On average, their game script score was -3.36, which means they're trailing by more than a field
goal. But they weren't even after that disastrous play.
That everything you do is different based upon the game score. There's more pressure. Obviously, it's right out of the gate, okay? That's the tone they set. So you're instantly behind the eight ball. That's my point. But I will say, as far as, you know, you're talking about he's being coached this way. Okay, I'm sure he's being coached, but look at the flip side of the coin. Look at Josh Allen last night forcing the ball down the field and putting that team in a really bad position. So I think there's some of that. And maybe what you're saying is look, if you're going to take the shot, it better be there. You better not make a mistake, right? Because that's when you come and get hammered by Sean Payton. Maybe that's what Russ is feeling. I just think it's kind of the game plan. We're just going to beat you underneath, and you got to take what the defense gives you. If you force it too much, then you end up like Josh Allen throwing three picks to Jordan Whitehead. That's what happens.
I think the bigger issue is the defense wasn't as elite as we were all hoping. And that we've seen out of the past couple
definitely
of years.
Another issue
it's,
for
it's,
sure.
It's like, definitely not a good enough defense to win with the style of quarterback play they want out of Russell Wilson. Let's dig into that defense coming up next. RamosLaw.com text line. Giant cranium and meathead are idiots blaming the D. Who's that text referring to?
Repeat that.
Wait, am I in on this too?
Giant cranium and meathead are idiots blaming the D. It's a texter referring to somebody on the station as giant cranium and meathead.
Oh, I know who that is.
Who do you think that is?
That'd be the morning show.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Just taking a guess. Just taking a guess.
Meathead. That's not nice. What are they doing? That's not nice. Broncos defense. We got some issues.
Where's the pass rush, man?
No pass rush.
I mean, that was our biggest concern heading into training camp is the depth and the quality of this pass rush in general, right? Whether it's from your defensive line or your outside linebackers. Look, it just kind of goes to show you that you can't read too much into what you saw in the preseason. And maybe we were guilty of that just a little bit too much, getting our hopes up there. But, man, they didn't show up. In fact, I saw a few times where they were taking Randy Gregory off the field on third downs. I'm like, isn't that when he's supposed to be in the game? So, yeah, they only allowed 17. But I think what fans are having trouble with is it felt so similar to the last few years where you play pretty well defensively on the whole. You don't get enough pressure in the backfield. You really don't generate, you know, turnovers. You know, you got the one with Kareem Jackson. But outside of that, it's just you can't get the other team off the field when it counts, and that kills you.
And I think that's where Broncos fans are having a hard time. This Raiders team's not a good team. Mm-mm. They're not a good team at all. And the fact that, to be honest, the scoreline should look a lot different because they got that interception in the end zone. The Raiders should have scored a touchdown. If that's Miami, they're scoring a touchdown right there. So the defense, we've been praising them for so long, and now all of a sudden it's like, oh no, there's a bunch of question marks with this part of that. We already thought we had question marks with the entire offense. Crap, now we have to worry about the other side of the ball.
Well, it's a quirky situation for sure with the Broncos defense. 13.8% pressure rate, the lowest of the 30 teams who have played in week one per True Media. This is according to Nick Kosmider. That is despite the fact the Broncos blitz 41.4% of the time, third highest rate in the league. So is the bigger problem the Broncos have the lack of dynamic playmakers that everybody's been sort of crying about? Or frankly, is it on the defensive side of the ball? Is that where the biggest issue is coming from?
I think there's, I don't know about the biggest issue, but they're definitely both issues, right? That was why we were so nervous about this group of pass rushers. It's just talent-based. That's why when they signed Frank Clark, we were like, okay, good. That's a rotation depth piece, but he's only playing situationally on third downs. Baron Browning, who you anticipated being one of your starting outside linebackers, starting this season on PUP. So kind of behind the eight ball before you even got going. Yeah, you got to generate pressure on the quarterback, especially in the AFC, if you want to win some of these games. But offensively, I mean, you still have the challenge. They both go hand in hand.
I just, I don't know who's coming to the rescue here. I don't know.
What, Louis on the shelf for Sean Payton?
Well, I mean, Randy Gregory's got to be that guy. You got to get something out of Jonathan Cooper. You've got to, or Frank Clark and whatever.
What about Nick Burrito?
Nick Burrito, I don't know where Nick Burrito's going to be. Maybe wrapped up. Who knows? Zach Allen, and then you didn't even play Drew Sanders defensively. So if Drew Sanders is going to be some sort of special guy.
That's your dude, huh?
No. I was, you know, the wrapped up part.
Well, it was a little late on that one.
Oh, man, that's where you're going?
That was a good one.
Work on your comedic timing.
The issue the Broncos have, they only gave up 17, but then you get into this weird, like, well, what was it really? I mean, are we going to count on touch our interceptions in the end zone? Are we going to count on, you just kneel down at the end of the game? I mean, there were more points to be had. It's frustrating. And it does set a tone that the Broncos are going to just have to take more chances offensively, I guess, if you just can't stop teams. If you can't get pressure, if you can't get some three and outs. I mean, I think I heard James say it was the first NFL game since like the 40s with a team that had six possessions. I mean, that is crazy.
But pull up that note you were just reading. What was their blitz rate? 41%?
41-4.
I mean, that's taking a lot of chances, D-Mac. That is the VJ aggressive style of defense that we were told about heading into this season, that it was going to be, you're going to take some chances here, and you might get beat deep a couple of times, but hopefully it results in more pressure and more turnovers. That didn't materialize in week one, and next week against the Commanders, you got to get home, because that's Sam Howell. That is a young player. You've got to make his life miserable. You have to.
You know, we want to welcome on to the station longtime friend Bob Ibach, who's joining us with something very cool for CU fans. Bob, welcome to the show. What's going on for CU fans there, Bob?
Hey, D-Mac and Michael, nice to be with you. And, you know, I think I have to ask you, before the season, if you looked at national rankings, do you think CU would be in the top 75?
No way. It's stunning.
It's amazing, you know, and I got people throughout the country. I do a lot of broadcasting, and they're asking me, what about Coach Prime's team? I mean, they're ranked 18th now, and it's an amazing turnaround for this program, and I still think the best is yet to come. And we've got something that, Colorado Buffaloes fans are going to want to get, because they're going to look back at this history-making, the beginning of a program that I think is going to even take off beyond this year with Coach Sanders there. It's a limited edition, full-size football. It's fully licensed. It's one of a kind. You won't find this anywhere else being sold. We're only making 5,000 of them. They're being sold for $119 each. You'll get a numbered certificate of authenticity. Everything on the various panels of the football are embossed, which will keep it pristine looking for years to come. You'll be able to put it in your man cave or in your office or home, and I guarantee you people will walk in and say, wow, where did you get that football? Now, before I give out the phone number and the website, how you can go ahead and purchase these, I do want to point out a couple quick things on various panels that was designed by the owner of Nyco Sports, Craig Bidner, done a wonderful job on this. The one panel right there that pops right out at me is the one with the Boulder skyline on it. Underneath, it's got It's a New Era. We'll have the final score from that first game on there when they stunned the world and beat TCU. We'll have that on there right there on the date of that game. We on another panel, we've got team history, the stadium history, the Buffalo logo. And then on another panel is a gorgeous panoramic photograph of Folsom Field. It was taken on the sun-drenched afternoon. Full house capacity crowd, and it stretches from the left to the right side of that panel. It really makes this football different and very historic. So if you'd like to get a piece of history, and I think this is going to be something that they'll be talking about this season for years to come, and the way this whole program is evolved and moving forward, here's how you can order these. Again, they're $119 each, only 5,000 made. You can call 1-800-345-2868. That's 1-800-345-2868. Or just go to Nyco Sports, NIKCOsports.com. There's a really good-looking website there. You can actually see the football there. Again, it's NIKCOsports.com. Or just call 1-800-345-2868. And here's an idea. You got Christmas and holidays coming up, and for that Colorado Buffaloes fan, you're going to want to go ahead and get maybe one or two of these as Christmas or holiday gift ideas. These will be sent to you in 8 or 9 weeks before Thanksgiving, and you can also download a numbered certificate of authenticity right when you call in. So don't delay. These things will sell out. I do encourage people to get a piece of history because I say the best is yet to come. I can't wait till they play at Oregon, which is what, ranked number 13, and USC. That'll really, really determine how far this program has been elevated.
All right, we appreciate it. Thank you, Bob Iback. In terms of what we're doing with CU and Prime and the juxtaposition between what's happening at CU and the Broncos, it's significant. Do you got to throw the bag at Prime right now? And what would that number be? Football at 4 is next.
Cool story, bro.